What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the For the Good podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Our mission is to reach the next generation by encouraging you using God's word.
We cover topics like Christian dating. God does not want someone to come to him because of a person.
Finding your godly spouse. That's how God works in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Following God's will for your life.
We think that we should be omniscient with God. And staying close to God when the world tempts you. Or it can be worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Romans 8:28 says,
"And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
This podcast is for God's good and to grow his kingdom.
Our prayer is that this ministry provides you with a healthy Christian community that you can be a part of.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast.
Yep, what up? It's Saturday when we're filming this, so we're ready to go.
Yeah, it's Saturday afternoon. Here we go. We're rocking and rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Does it look crooked still? It looks like it's slanted like this.
Nope, I think the camera looks great. Y'all let us know, our YouTube users, let us know if the camera looks slanted. I think it looks fine.
Sorry if it is.
My wife's OCD, so.
Yes, I am. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about repentance,
mm-hmm.
and just a little backstory of where this topic came from. I just had a thought the other day, and I was like, I find it interesting how some Christians will come to Jesus, and then they'll remember their old life, and they're like, dang, like, thank you for saving me from that. Like, I can't believe I used to do all of that. And then those are the end of the thoughts. And I was thinking about it and I was like, why aren't we always in a repentant spirit? You know, mm-hmm. like when we think about our past, in my opinion, we should be repentant of that time, even though we weren't followers and we didn't know in that moment that we were going against God's word. We do have an innate nature to know what's right and wrong,
yeah.
right? But I find it interesting how we think on our past life and then we're not repentant about our past life.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that when we come to Jesus that all of our sins are forgiven and he forgets our sins. Like he just doesn't remember them. Like he chooses not to remember them. And I think that we should always have a repentant heart, especially when we're thinking about our past and where we've came from. So I just wanted to bring up some scripture and just talk about what it means to have a repentant heart, especially like after we come to the Lord and we do something and we know instantly that it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just feeling guilty and running away and hiding from the Lord, like Adam and Eve did in the garden, when they knew that they sinned, they literally ran, covered themselves up and they tried to hide from God.
Yeah.
And God approached them.
Yeah.
So we can't run and hide and cower, after we sin. We need to come in agreement with him and admit that what we did is wrong.
Yep. I'm excited because you have a lot of notes and I really just have one story. So, okay. But I think it'll tie everything together.
Okay. Yeah. So first I just want to read a psalm. I might not read the whole thing.
Ooh.
Because it's pretty long. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's about repentance.
Okay.
So if you read have your Bible, we're going to go to Psalm 51.
Oh, Psalm 51.
Psalm 51.
I say that like I know it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. There are 139 psalms.
It's titled A Prayer for Restoration.
Okay.
So I'm just going to read the beginning.
Okay.
Because I think the beginning is really, really good and really mm-hmm. powerful. The whole thing is. But so starting at verse 1, it says, "Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion, blot out my rebellion. Completely wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me." So just a little pause here. Couple things to note. He says that he's conscious of his rebellion.
Yep.
And I think people are very, very large liars when they say that they don't know that they did something wrong.
Yeah. This is also in, I think it's Romans chapter 3 when Paul is basically saying, like, whether you're a believer or not a believer, everyone has a conscience and you know what's right from wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. And you might not, like, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you might not feel it as heavy as we do, but you still feel bad about it. Like, you can't tell me that the people that are sitting in prison right now don't feel guilty about what they did.
Yeah.
Like, you are a human being. You have feelings. You might be going through something mentally that, like, kind of causes you to not feel it as deep, but you definitely know that you did something wrong. You know,
honey, my version in verse one says, blot out the stain of my sins. Because yours says, I think, just,
blot out my rebellion.
Yeah. Rebellion.
Yeah.
And
I'm reading CSB.
Yeah. I think rebellion is great. I was just saying mine's a little bit different in the way of, like, it's more direct.
Yeah.
Like, rebellion is like, rebel. That's interesting. But this is just like, no. We're talking about sin here.
Well, and also, like, you can go even further and talk about how it talks about a stain. Like, do you know how hard it is to get a stain out of blood? Like, have you ever seen a TV show or a movie where they're trying to get rid of blood stains on, like, carpet and stuff? Like, it's really hard to get rid of, you know? And especially, we can't do it alone. You have to use sort of agent to get rid of it.
Yeah, there we go, honey.
Cleaning agent. Yeah. Here so we go.
You have to use some sort of cleaning agent. Yeah, and the cleanser is the one who created you. The cleanser is the one who is perfect. So the blood stains, which is sin that's in your heart, will only be cleansed by a cleanser, and the cleanser is Jesus, because he is perfect, because he has no sin.
Yeah,
that's a word right there. That's nasty. Wow.
That's a word right there.
Okay, wow. That is nasty.
The next part I want to point out is, after he says that he's conscious of it, he says, my sin is always before me. So something that I feel like is hard for some people to understand is that you are going to sin even after you come to Jesus. I think there's a lot of self-righteous people that say, like, oh, I'm never going to sin ever. And it's like, you're a broken human. We live in a broken world. You're going to sin. And I remember JP had a conversation on his podcast, Jonathan Pakluda, if you don't know who I'm talking about. The Becoming Something podcast, they had a conversation. He said, how many times do you think I'm going to sin in this episode? Do you remember this? And Nate was like, or how many, he asked them, how many times do you think you're going to sin? And Nate was like, like one or two. And then the girl was like, I don't know. Like, I don't think I will. And then JP was like, no, you're going to sin a lot. And he was basically just trying to get them to understand that there might be some times where you don't actually, like, do an action, but, like, what Jesus says, like, you sin in your heart if you even think about something, right? So, like, you could have a conversation with someone and all of a sudden you have a negative thought about that person. You don't say it out loud and you don't actually, like, sit on it, but, like, you thought it, you know? And it's hard for some people to grasp that you're not perfect, you know? And I've actually heard some Christians say, like, I've never sinned since coming to Jesus. And I'm like, you're sinning right now because you're lying. You know, like, that's just not true. That's not possible. This is someone writing to the Lord. He's writing out his thoughts and how he feels, and he's asking the Lord to get rid of it. And he's saying that his sin is always before me. He's literally writing to God, being like, I know that I'm going to sin, you know, like, it's going to happen. And that's the importance of repentance, right? And we have a hard time forgiving people. And I was just thinking about this the other day. I feel like it's easier said than done, especially when someone really, really hurts you. But to think that our Lord and Savior literally looks at our sin, forgives us for the sin, and then just forgets about it. Like, I don't know about you, but if you've ever forgiven someone, you probably haven't forgotten about what they did.
Yeah.
You still think about it.
Yeah.
To understand the power of his forgiveness, like, just think about you, like, wiping your memory of all the bad things that someone's done to you. Like, that's not possible when we're on earth. Like, it's really not.
No, it's not.
And we're talking about
someone who knows from beginning to end.
Yeah. Like, the creator of the universe, there's a verse. I need to find it. It says he forgets about our sin.
Yeah, it's Hebrews chapter 10.
Okay.
Verses, actually, I think it's just verse 19. Okay. Or no, it's verse 18. I can read it real quick.
Okay.
But what was your next verse, honey?
So the biggest point that I want to gather from all of this is that we are more aware of our sin when we come to Jesus, and it's harder for us to forgive ourselves, let alone ask for forgiveness when we sin. And when we think about our past life, like, you might not reminisce, I don't know if that's the word I want to use, but you might just think about the way that you used to be before you came to Jesus. And when you do that and you're like, oh, I can't believe I did this, mm-hmm. like back in the day. And in that moment, it shouldn't be a sense of shame and guilt that you're feeling and unworthiness, because you do have Jesus now. Like, it can probably be hard, and you're like, oh, I'm not worthy of this. Like, I used to do all of this stuff, and like, here I am a Christian. And there's some people that have struggled with really, really, there's people in jail giving their lives to Jesus. Can you imagine how they feel?
Mm-hmm.
They're still locked up. They've given their lives to Jesus, and their cell constantly reminds them of what they've done.
Yeah.
So in that moment, instead of like beating yourself up and just sitting in your guilt and shame, that should be the moment where we're like, thank you for saving me from that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thank you for forgiving me for doing all of those things before I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking in this episode specifically about like our previous life, because when you come to Jesus, we know that we need to repent of our sins every single day,
mm-hmm.
even if you didn't actually commit it, but you thought about doing it, right? But to think on your past life and sit in those thoughts of like, oh, I used to do all of that. Like, I feel like we should also be repentant of that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. So here's the verse, Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 15. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so, for he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds.
Mm-hmm.
And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
That, I made a YouTube video on those two verses in itself,
mm-hmm.
And it was actually talking about shame and guilt. And so here's the thing about, or I don't want to say here's the thing, it feels like everyone says that, about repenting of your past life. Once you have repented, Jesus has forgiven you,
mm-hmm.
and he forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to everyone is, once you have repented of that, of your past life and things you have done, why do you keep bringing it up?
Mm-hmm.
That's because if you keep bringing, that's what the enemy wants you to do.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's necessarily us consciously trying to bring it up, but it's the enemy trying to tear us away from the
exactly.
Lord.
Exactly. It's remember this. And it's like, that's why it's so important to be involved in here.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you've realized that the Lord forgets,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's time to ask God, Lord, can you help me forget about this as well?
Absolutely.
And turn over mm-hmm. a new leaf,
mm-hmm.
one would say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff in my past. I would say the biggest thing that I asked the Lord to help me forget about is me starting my business,
mm-hmm.
and me having a covetous mind and me having a selfish ambition and stuff like that. That's a big part of my story and things that I sometimes feel shame and guilt about, because sometimes I took advantage of people, and you know, sometimes I wasn't really the best guy or best person. And these are things I've repented from, but sometimes it still comes up. And it's never in a way of, it's always just in a shameful or guiltful way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always like, oh, well, in your past, you know, you did this, so it may come up again.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing, is it's important to ask God, like, dude, can you just, like, help me forget about this? Because I repented from it. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
And remembering those things and feeling that guilt and shame can keep you from moving forward.
Yeah, exactly.
In your mm-hmm. relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because he might have something in front of you, but you're so hyper-fixated on your past.
Exactly.
That you can't actually move forward. Yep. You know, when people always say, like, don't look in the rearview mirror, look through the windshield. It's so true, especially mm-hmm. in our walk with God. Like, we were talking today about our mindsets that we used to have when we first came to the Lord. And it was kind of just like isolation. Like, it wanted, we only wanted to associate ourselves with Christians, which we can talk about this another episode.
Yeah.
But we were talking about that today. And it really made me think back on where I've came in my relationship with the Lord. And I looked back in a good way, right? Like, not in a bad way, but just like, I can't believe I've came this far, you know, and I'm still going further. Like, I still have a lot to work on. Like, I will be working on stuff until he calls me home. But I think that can be a good thing. But like, if we look at the story of what are the two people? She turned to a pillar of salt. What was her name? Jill and I talked about this the other day. What was her name?
She turned into a pillar of salt.
Yeah, because she looked back. You don't know who I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
Okay, hold on.
I actually have no idea.
You'll remember when I bring it up.
Maybe.
Okay. Lot's wife.
Oh, Lot's wife. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah. She looked back at the destruction of Sodom yeah. because mm-hmm. she missed the city.
Yeah.
Right? It was full of sin.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. she looked back, and then she turned to a pillar of salt. And it wasn't necessarily the fact that she looked back, period.
Mm-hmm.
She looked back with a heart of missing the city and missing the sin.
Missing the sin, exactly.
And
that's a great story. I think that's Genesis chapter 20 or like 20 to...
Let me see.
That's a great
Genesis
story.
Genesis 19:26. 19,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, a really good story.
That's a great story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So instead of looking back and missing it or like having that attitude towards our sin, our past, we can look back and look at God's mercy and his grace that he's given us. And then that's what leads us towards repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Because repentance isn't something that we're like, we should have a good mindset of repentance. Does that
yeah.
make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because what you're doing when you're repenting.
There's two mindsets. There's a religious repentance
mm-hmm.
and then there's a thankfulness repentance
exactly.
and
exactly.
a gracious repentance.
Yes.
And the religious repentance is, dang, I know I'm not supposed to get drunk. I got drunk anyway. I guess I'll just have to repent.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not the way Jesus wants you to repent at all.
That's empty repentance.
Yes.
That is not actually turning away.
Exactly.
That's not actually feeling guilty about what you did.
Exactly.
And when we repent and we're like, okay, I'm aware of this. What you're doing is you're coming into agreement with God that is wrong. What you did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Macy one day, she's going to do something that she's not supposed to do, right? And I'm not going to address it in a mean way because mm-hmm. that wouldn't be the heart of God. I'm going to sit down and talk to her and say, do you know what you did? Do mm-hmm. you know why you weren't supposed to do that?
Yeah.
And I'm going to get her to understand why that's not okay.
Yeah.
That way, if she does it again, she's going to have a repentance heart towards doing it again because she's going to know why it's bad and why God doesn't want us to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We can use drinking as an example. So you used to drink all the time. Okay. You used to get really drunk and you would go out and do things that were not good. Okay. You come to the Lord, you read about drinking, you read about why he says to have a sober mind, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then you look back on your past and you say, I'm sorry I did that. I know why you said to have a sober mind because nothing good comes from getting drunk,
mm-hmm.
right? I was actually reading the story of Noah this morning when he got drunk. Do you remember that part?
Mm-hmm.
And I had some Bible commentary notes next to it, which were very interesting. So while we're on this topic, I'll just read it real quick.
Yeah, read it real quick. Yeah, that's a really, really good point, honey. Thanks for making that. Yeah, I after you read that, I have a story that I want to read in the Bible. But everyone knows it.
Okay, so it says alcohol is a depressant. It loosens people because it depresses their self-control, wisdom, balance, and judgment.
Mm.
So, yeah. That's all I wanted to say about that part, because I think it's just really important to understand why you're repenting, and it's because you understand why God told you not to do that.
Yeah. And I also, this is why I want to read this. This is a great segue into this. whenever I was kind of like, just, I don't want to say preparing for this episode, but the Lord will just give me stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And, I want to read the parable of the prodigal son.
Oh, okay. The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Okay.
I feel like I need to.
Okay.
So this is Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. This is a lot. Y'all get ready for this. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. It's very important. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry so that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servant, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with the feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard the music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of this safe return.' The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, 'All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all the time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back from squandering your money and prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found.'" I believe the reason why the Lord wanted me to read that story this episode was because this shows the heart of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
when it comes to repentance, because this story is a great reminder. This would go for believers and non-believers, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So because the heart of the believer sometimes is, dang, I literally know this is sin, but I still stumbled into it. How can you accept me?
Mm-hmm.
In this story, mm-hmm. it says he knew he was sinning.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he was going out to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And yet his father still ran to him and kissed him, mm-hmm. right? Because this is the heart of this story is humility mm-hmm. and repentance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the heart of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a great representation of what God's character is actually like. It's not some dictator. It's not some evil shaking his fist. No, it's compassion.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's really, really good. I also want to read this because this is for the people that say that they don't sin, but they're following Jesus.
Okay.
Okay. So this is Proverbs 28:13. It says, "The one who conceals his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy." And I think a lot of times people will say that they don't sin and they're concealing it and they're coming off super self-righteous. And like, honestly, the heart behind that of them feeling that way is almost like they're in charge of, how do I want to word this? If you have a heart like that, I feel like you're almost coming off like you were in charge of your salvation.
Yeah, pretty much.
Does that come off that way or is that just me?
No, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because if you're saying that you're perfect, then you don't need to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Correct.
So yeah, you're in charge of your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You got it because yeah, you didn't sin. And again, that's not the heart of God.
No, it's not.
He doesn't want us to be in, he knows that we're not capable mm-hmm. of that, right?
Yeah.
I have another verse to read too.
Yeah,
that's, this one's in Matthew.
Okay. Matthew what?
4:17.
Oh, before the Sermon on the Mount?
Mm-hmm.
And this is after the wilderness.
Yep.
Right after.
"From then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near.'"
Yep.
So the biggest thing that I want you guys to take away from this episode is, one, that we're all imperfect, believers and non-believers. And as believers, we're called to repent, even if we didn't actually commit a sin, even if we just thought about it. And it can be something so small. All sin is equal in God's eyes. So I think a lot of times that also has people being a little bit self-righteous where they're like, okay, well, all I did was have a thought about this one thing, but then this person over here did this.
Yeah.
You know?
It's almost like a putting yourself above kind of thing. And it's like, that's not,
and then when
that's
you,
not what Christianity is about.
Exactly. And then when you do that, you almost think that you don't need to repent,
mm-hmm.
right? You're like, oh no, it's okay. I didn't do something that bad.
Yeah. You know what's, I wanted to make this point real quick. You know what's interesting
mm-hmm.
about repentance, honey, and understanding how wicked we are? Guys, read Paul's letters.
Mm-hmm.
In the order in which they were written, Paul decreases. In his last letter he wrote, he said he is the lowest.
Oh, you mean he decreases like his pride?
Exactly.
His ego. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said he is the lowest mm-hmm. of all the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
First, it was...
be like me.
No, no, no. It was basically just like, I'm a sinner.
Oh,
in
okay.
need of God's grace.
He does make a comment where he
yes,
says,
he does.
Do as me.
Yes.
Do as uh-huh. what I do. Okay, yeah, yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
But his last letter that he wrote, it was literally, I am the lowest of all the apostles. And when we think of Paul, we don't think that.
No, we don't.
But yet Paul knows how imperfect he is and how broken he is
mm-hmm.
that he puts himself at the lowest.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I have discovered in myself how broken I am, I've been able to extend people more grace and more mercy because even the thoughts that I have,
mm-hmm.
I know the next guy's having the same thoughts.
Yeah.
So there's no point for me to put myself above. It's just so much easier to serve people once you realize
it
that.
It is. And yeah, it's like you said, it's way easier to give people grace
mm-hmm.
because you understand like how much you've struggled. And I feel like that also comes with sanctification because at the beginning I was very self-righteous and I didn't ever say that I never sinned, But I definitely had like this like pedestal that I was on in my own mind. And I would compare myself to other people that either I knew or that were online. And I'm like, dang, I'm a better Christian than them. And I feel like that can be your first mindset when you become a Christian, because you're like,
yes, it is. That's what I was talking about in my Discord yesterday, honey. It's a youth thing.
And that's,
but it's not a youth as in like age. It's a youth thing as in time and being sanctified.
Yeah.
Because this is a very popular thing. First, like 6 months to a year, you get saved. Dang, what the heck? They're a Christian. What the, like,
yeah, what are they doing?
I'm better than this guy. I just got saved and I'm not doing this. And then it's like, then you grow to like year three or four and you're like, wait a second. I can't believe I used to make judgment calls like that because my thoughts are crazy. And then we have someone like my dad's wife, and she's like, I'm blown away by her spirit every time I talk with her, you know, just because she's really compassionate. She gives us a ton of grace. And I mean, she's
very, very loving.
Yeah. She's been walking with God for a really long time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's just one example. We have a lot of people that are a lot older that have been walking with Jesus for a long time. And it's like, dang, like, don't you want to be like that? Like, don't you want to be like really compassionate and really loving and just putting yourself at the lowest instead of putting yourself
above a servant heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus says the last is the first, right? So like putting other people on a pedestal above yourself. I don't know how we got on this topic, but
yeah. It all ties in.
It does help you have a better repentant heart. Yeah. But just some encouragement if you ever sit around and, you know, think about your past. I think it's important as believers that we have a repentant heart towards our past. And it helps us realize how much grace and mercy and love that the Lord has given us already in our walk with Him. So hopefully this is encouraging. But this is something that I struggle with too. And we've talked about this, is just like not repenting enough. I feel like none of us can repent enough, you know, cause we are so imperfect, but yeah, that's all I got for you guys today.
Yeah. That was a good episode. We'll catch y'all next Wednesday on the tripod.